Chancy Fleet is from the New York Public Library and is doing a terrific job there.
Hi, everybody. My name is Chancy Fleet. I'm the Assistive Technology Coordinator at the Andrew Haskell Braille and Talking Book Library, part of the New York Public Library. And I'm here in Manhattan right now. We are at West 20th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue. If you like, when you're in New York City, please come and visit us. I'm also a member of the National Federation of the Blind. I joined in 2001, so I've been in the organization a little bit over half my life at this point. I started here as a volunteer while I was working in the voc rehab system at a very traditional agency. And I started here as a volunteer in 2010 with a couple other friends who were blind and in the NFB. And we started the computer support clinic. And the idea here is very simple. Anybody can come here and work with a peer, either a volunteer or now staff members. Any person with a print reading disability can come and tell us their goal. We are not voc rehab. So we are free of paperwork. We are free of charge. And we are free of eligibility requirements, which means you do not have to be legally blind. You can be an ally. You can be a family member or a colleague or a teacher. Anybody is welcome here who needs to learn about accessible technology. Since we are not voc rehab, we also don't need to restrict ourselves to vocational goals. So if you want to come and work on your typing, work on your Office and G Suite skills, your web skills, your social networking, your LinkedIn, your resume, business letters, of course you can do all of that here, but we are also happy to take appointments about online gaming, online dating, whatever it is that you need to get done, we are here for you. So we primarily work one-on-one with people who are in or around the New York City area, but I'm going to tell you in a minute about the opportunities that are available to people wherever you are. But I want you all to know that you can build this model in your chapter, or you can build this model at your local library or community center. We started our program with no budget. We started our program with no dedicated staff members. We got together a few people that are comfortable with certain technologies. We started a Google Voice number so that folks could contact us. And we got our local library to list us in the newsletter. And we got our local library to give us a room with two computers where we could work. And we decided on a schedule and we just started doing it. So I'm really hoping that people in other NFB chapters and in other places can emulate this model because it really works. As you all know, it is tremendously hard for some of us to get the tech training we need if the questions we have are not vocational. And it can also be really challenging if people have already had training and that's on their record, if they are undocumented, if they are homemakers, if they are retired, if they are happily employed already, or if they have no intention in the near future to return to work. You know how VR can be limited in some ways because the funding is limited. So we are a way to build bridges and get things done without formal VR. We don't compete with VR, and we think everybody that is eligible for VR should go get comprehensive assistive technology training. This is not that. This is informal coaching. So all you need is a goal and a willingness to come in and participate. And we are so happy to talk to anyone that wants to start a computer club or a support clinic or whatever you want to call it in your own area. So please talk to us if you'd like to do that. I came on staff in 2014, and I am currently joined by two other staff members. We have Dario Baiza, who does English and Spanish language instruction. And we were just joined by Simon Isakov, who's going to be one of our, among other things, we all do everything, but he will be specializing in Braille technology since the new Braille e-readers are coming out very soon. So fast forward a bit to COVID. During the first month of the pandemic, we worked to get everyone we could in our patron base online. We called them by phone and worked with as many people as we could on how to sign up for Zoom and get on Zoom. And we started opening up our group workshops, which we have always had, to anyone who can join us on Zoom. And now we've always had the occasional tourist. We've always had people that maybe are here from Japan for a week and they've decided they'd like to come in and take a class. And we've always had people coming from like New Jersey to our workshops. But now we're able to offer our group workshops to anyone from anywhere if you can get on Zoom. I'll give you a few examples of the kinds of workshops that we have. We have one-time sort of feature workshops that are usually 90 minutes to 2 hours in length. And that's where you can learn about one topic in depth. So some of our workshops recently, they're different every quarter. And at the end, I'll give you my website. Some of our workshops have recently been, you know, a showcase of accessible games on iOS, an in-depth look at Voice Dream Reader, an in-depth look at Bookshare and Bard. We do workshops on types of accessible technology. So coming up in December, we have a workshop on techniques for accessible shopping. Coming up next Wednesday evening, we have a workshop on high and low tech tools for cooking and organizing things in the kitchen. We had a workshop on Braille labeling and organization last month. We also have recurring chat groups. On the first Saturday of every month, we have two voiceover chats, one for beginners of for iOS voiceover and one for intermediate users and advanced users we call Beyond the Basics. We have a Windows screen reader chat that is the first Sunday of every month, so that means it's tomorrow. We have two online Braille study groups where you can come with your questions, talk about reading and writing techniques, recommend resources, recommend products, and get some support for any questions you have about your self-study that you may be doing, whether that's through Hadley or something else. Our Braille study groups meet on Saturday mornings. All these times are Eastern at 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 to 12:30, and on Tuesday evenings from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Every quarter, we do an 8-week or 12-week immersion into a screen reader. This quarter is already underway. There have been 3 workshops so far, and there's 5 more coming. And we're looking at voiceover for Mac. Last quarter, we did NVDA, which means next quarter, it is going to be the turn of JAWS. So if you want to build up your JAWS skills, you can join us for an 8-week immersion that will start in mid-January. Now, that is not all that we do at the library. Some of you may have heard of the Dimensions Project. So back in 2017, I was approached by somebody really connected in the blind community who had just moved to New York, and they said they were looking to find a map of the 5 boroughs because they wanted to understand how the 5 boroughs of New York, which are kind of like major areas of New York, relate to one another. And I started thinking to myself, wow, this is a hard question, and it shouldn't be a hard question because we've had tactile graphics, accessible, touchable, raised line graphics. We've had those in the community for decades. I remember seeing some of them in my textbooks growing up, and sometimes I'll get one at a conference. But the sad fact is most people who are blind don't get graphics because they want to see them. They get the graphics that they are handed. They get the graphics that they're going to be tested on, or maybe they get some graphics at a conference or on a holiday card. But the average sighted person can go to a printer or go to a screen and say, I'm really curious. What does a sea turtle look like? Or what are the 5 boroughs of New York look like? Or what is that flattening the curve COVID graphic look like? And a sighted person can satisfy that curiosity almost right away. Why can't we? And I realized it's because blind people don't have usually the means of production. Those Braille embossers, those swell form machines, those 3D printers usually belong to educational institutions or publishing houses. And blind people ourselves maybe are handed drawings, but we're seldom taught how to do for ourselves. And even when it comes to drawing, accessible drawing, did you know accessible drawing is really easy? That all you need is a semi-soft surface, like a soft cutting board or a mouse pad or a silicone placemat, and you can put regular paper on top of it and draw firmly with a ballpoint pen, and you can feel the lines you draw, and people can draw for you, and you can learn to draw as well as anyone. For some reason, nobody knows that, because in the public educational system, this knowledge doesn't get passed around. I really wanted to change all that, so we started the Dimensions Lab in 2017. We had initially a small grant, and the rest we've done with donations. We have 2 tactile graphics embossers. One is cut sheet and can handle business cards and things like that, and the other one is tractor feed, the Index and the Columbia, if you're curious. We have 2 3D printers, a Lulzbot and an Ultimaker, and we can use those to make models of things that are too small to touch, like a molecule, or too big, like a landscape, or too dangerous, like a bee, or too delicate, like the cuneiform that we have in our rare books collection here at NYPL that blind people aren't allowed to touch and that are behind glass. Well, we used photogrammetry to capture those from every angle and made a beautiful copy of them so you can hold those cuneiform from 3000 BC in your hand. So we have the 3D printers. We have a swell form machine, which uses microcapsule paper that we ink on a regular printer or by hand, and then we run it through this heated machine, and the alcohol in the paper and the carbon react together to puff up the inked parts and produce a beautiful, bold, high contrast, high tactile line. And we also have about 20 sensational blackboards for hand drawing. And you can come check all of that out. And I really encourage folks who have a local library, a makerspace, or a community center in your community to talk about building a space that has equipment that is whatever you can afford, where blind and sighted people can come and do graphics and art and drawing together, because we don't live in a text-only world. We all deserve access to maps and graphics and self-expression. If anyone wants to talk to us about how we built ours, again, we started with a grant, one grant. Our budget was $10,000, and the rest we've done through donations of equipment and services and word of mouth. We are small and scrappy over here. So if we can do it, anybody can do it. If you are not planning on coming to New York anytime soon, and this sounds fun for you, we do have some online workshops that are focusing on topics within dimensions. The next one that's going to happen on November 14th, we are going to be doing a showcase for how to learn to code SVG. SVG stands for Scalable Vector Graphics. And if you know what HTML is, HTML is how we build the web with headings and links and text. Think of SVG almost like HTML, but for shapes. So you can use SVG to write a circle and tell the computer where to put it and tell the computer what color you want it to be and how big and how thick the line around the edge is. And then you can build lines and polygons, and you can white spaces out. You can make arcs and curves. And as a totally blind person, you can do computer-assisted design drawing that looks super professional and precise, just like sighted people can use CAD. The person leading this workshop is going to be Marco Salsicha, who is a totally blind former animator who learned to start coding SVG in July and has just been taking off and making all the things. So you'll be able to join us on the evening of November 14th. I think we're going to do it at 7 p.m. Eastern on Zoom. We also periodically have DIY drawing at home workshops on Zoom. So you can grab things that you have around the house. We'll tell you in advance what kind of supplies to look for, and you can do drawing activities from the comfort of your home. So please get involved with us. I'm going to tell you how. You can visit our website at talkingbooks.nypl.org. Again, talkingbooks.nypl.org. BOOKS.NYPL.org. But if you want to make sure that you are on the mailing list so you never miss an event, please join our mailing list. You can email me, and my email address is Chancey, Chancey, Fleet, F as in father, L-E-E-T, at NYPL.org. Again, Chancey, Chancey, F as in father, L-E-E-T, at NYPL.org. And it's very important that you put the right thing in the subject, because I will search for this keyword and this keyword only once a week and add people. Put event list in the subject. Don't put anything else in the subject. Don't say add me to the list or classes or anything except event list in the subject, because I will search for event list and I will add you on a weekly basis to our rolling tech list. It's not very spammy. You'll get 2 to 3 emails from us a week at a maximum. And we are always happy to entertain other ideas for workshops that people want to do. Last thing that I want to mention is that we also teach coding and physical computing. So it's not happening this quarter, but starting next quarter, we're going to be doing physical computing, which is how to program a small computer to do things in the real world. Starting next quarter, we're going to be doing physical computing online for Microbit. And Microbit is a little guy. It costs only $50. And it has a speaker, a gyroscope, a compass, some LEDs, and a bunch of other, I think a humidity and temperature sensor. And you can program it to play music. You can make an accessible level tool. You can make a talking magic 8-ball. You can make an accessible compass. And a lot more. So if you're interested in doing that, that'll start next quarter. And we also do a series about once a year on web development. So that's basic HTML and CSS. So if you're interested in any of that stuff, please send me an email that says event list in the subject line. And if you are somebody that's a community leader, a community organizer, and you want to start a computer club in your chapter, or you want to talk to us about how we do accessible art or how we do physical computing and coding, so that you can start efforts in your own area, feel free to reach out. We're always happy to dedicate a little time each week to building up our community of practice. And I'm happy to take any questions if there's time.
All right. So let's take a couple questions. I'm just going to make one comment. You know, when I was in graduate school and high school, I kept a stack of the softer Braille paper on a clipboard, and I used my slate and stylus. And I always doodled. I drew all kinds of stuff because my stylist went through that paper and made little drawings. I drew flowers and wrote and print and stuff like that. I loved it.
I love that. Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Any questions?
I'm Lisa.
Yes, go ahead, Lisa.
She said Chancy Fleet, Fleet at NYL, and then
at NYPL. So that's New York Public Library at NYPL.org.
One more question. So you know what? This has been so wonderful. I love the idea, and I hope I would love to see us start a computer group that met at least once a week and maybe a couple times to help people.
Yeah, we're happy to help with that.
All right. Thanks, Chancy, so
much.
Thank
you. Thanks for inviting me, folks. Enjoy.
Yeah, come to Alaska and welcome to New York.
If you send me a plane ticket, I literally will. I went to Colorado last weekend. Maybe next year.
Well, next time I make it to New York City, I'm coming to see you. So
sounds good. Thank you. Take care.